Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talked to Kate Reed, the project manager for the Integrative Youth Services Network Initiative for Guelph Wellington, and Carrie Chassels, the Vice Provost of Student Affairs at the University of Guelph. Earlier this month, at Committee of the Whole, there was a presentation on the idea of a youth wellness hub, which has attracted the interest and participation of 40 different groups in Guelph and Wellington County, including the Canadian Mental Health Association Waterloo-Wellington, the Waterloo-Wellington-Lynn, the Guelph-Wellington-Dufferin Public Health, and Family and Children's Services of Guelph-Wellington. Such a big project deserves a particularly thorough discussion, and that's what we're going to do today. Helping youth is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Let's start with the idea of the Integrated Youth Services Network Initiative. It was the brainchild of Dr. Joanna Henderson from the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, the CAMH, as a way of improving access to mental health and addiction services to Ontario's youth and young adults. The goal, according to the Youth Wellness Hubs Ontario site, is to provide rapid access to mental health and substance use services, to integrate those services with access to other kinds of primary care like housing, to make access easy using a one-stop shop model, and to make those hubs responsive to the specific needs and demands of the municipality they are serving. So far, there are 10 youth hubs in and around Ontario, including locations in Toronto, Chatham-Kent, Malton, and the Niagara region. The Guelph version of the Youth Wellness Hub started last August with a presentation by Dr. Henderson to the Rotary Club of Guelph. Rotarians Cindy Forsyth and Marty Fairburn then picked up that baton and went out into the community, starting with Guelph YMCA, YWCA, the Guelph Community Foundation, and the CMHA. At a November 2018 meeting, 40 groups and 62 individuals took part and acknowledged the great need for a one-stop shop for youth, and then answered the needs, whatever they may be. From the serious concerns of mental health or bullying to the everyday concerns of finding that first job or doing homework, even the need to just have a place to hang out after school, they all can be answered with a youth hub. But how do we get there? This week on the Guelph Politicast, we will get into all those details about the Guelph version of the Youth Wellness Hub project in terms of the work done so far, who all is involved, and what the end result of the project will look like in practical terms. We'll also talk about the challenges, specifically how the Guelph Wellington Youth Hub will balance the needs of urban and rural youth, and whether or not the provincial funding will be there when the project is ready for it. And then finally, we will look at how members of the community can get involved, what the political expectations are from the local council, and then we will see when exactly the finished result in business. So I caught up with Kate Reed and Carrie Chassels last week in studio. So why don't we start on my immediate left?
Hi, happy to be here with you, Adam. I'm Carrie Chassels. I'm the Vice Provost of Student Affairs at the University of Guelph.
And I am Kate Reed. I'm the Project Manager for the Integrated Youth Services Network Initiative.
Okay. Let's start with the very, very basic definition of what an integrated youth services network is. What is this we're talking about today?
From our description of an integrated youth services network, it is a one-stop shop option for youth through the ages of 12 to 26 to come and receive different services that they might be seeking. That could include educational support, it could include leadership skills, it might be a cooking class, and it also might be mental health supports or primary care. So the services that are actually going to be provided in the youth hub will depend on the needs of the youth in that geographic area.
So it's not just the serious stuff that you know, people needing desperate help. It's the very general stuff, the very kind of teenage stuff, life skills, finding your first job.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is. And in terms of the serious stuff, as you mentioned, it's actually we're looking more at the promotion and early intervention services so that we can actually move farther upstream in the needs of youth so that they don't get to that tougher level. And if we can intervene or provide a safe space for youth in those early years, then we hope that we change the trajectory of their health care in the future.
Mm-hmm. I think that, one of the ways that I look at it is What we're doing is we're promoting well-being in our young people. And promoting well-being is around giving them a sense that there's a place for them in the community, that there are resources for them to utilize, and that they aren't being passed around from one office to another office. There are a lot of services for youth in our community, really tremendous, tremendous resources. But one of the perennial challenges is that people don't know where to find the services. They're not aware of them. So through an integrated youth services network approach, no matter what door a young person walks into within the network, they can be assured that the people in that door have a broad understanding of what's available for the youth, and it may be something that's available right inside their own organization, but it might also be making connections for them and referrals to other organizations and opportunities in the community because they themselves have an awareness and understanding of it as an organization and as a member of the network. One of the things that I keep thinking about when we talk about young people and some of their frustrations is, I think they would really like the grown-ups in their lives to get their act together so that we're not sending them through a whole bunch of hoops that don't make sense to them. They really expect us to have a broader understanding of what's going on in our community and what services are available, and to be able to broker those introductions and connections for them in a better way than what typically happens in any community.
What we're almost talking about, it sounds like, is curation. Like this, and this seems to be a problem across a lot of different fields, and my field in journalism is people are like, well, where do I go to get information? Where do I go out to, to find stuff about council meetings? And this is a lot of the same. It's, I have a problem. I don't know where to begin. And it's a weird situation to be in, considering we all have literally computers at our fingertips now.
Well, and it's about promoting connection and awareness and access, right? So if we can have every door within the network as a point of connection and awareness, then that's going to promote access.
There are these youth hubs already exist. I want to say 14 of them in Ontario right now.
There's actually 10.
Is there 10?
Yes.
Okay. So practically speaking, what does this look like? Is this like a matter of maybe virtual connectivity? Are we talking about? Or are we talking about something that's bricks and mortar too?
We're talking about bricks and mortar. So we're looking at several sites that would be networked throughout the city of Guelph as well as Wellington County. And we would be utilizing technology to enable that connectivity between sites. And part of the really great piece around that technology piece is the need to not have youth tell their story over and over again. Mm-hmm. So we know that there are youth, for example, in Erin, who would be going to school in Guelph, mm-hmm. and they could access a site in Erin on during the week or on a Saturday. But when they're at school or after school, they may want to go to somewhere in Guelph. If they go to those sites, their story need not be told again.
Right.
The technology will enable us to be able to understand what's happening in that youth's life at a glance and be able to carry on from wherever it was left off.
I think sometimes, when some of the models that have been applied are one bricks and mortar hub that's meant to be serve all needs kind of an area. And what we're looking at in Guelph and Wellington County that I think is really exciting is we've even leapfrogged beyond a hub and spoke kind of a model to something that I see more as a constellation. So if you think about looking up at the stars at night, that's what we have right now. We have the stars at night are up there in almost all of our communities. We are identifying some community gaps as well. But the Integrated Youth Services Network is going to draw the lines between those stars to make those constellations that we are more familiar with, right? So, and so there, it's the bricks and mortar plus the technology that builds that virtual highway that we can help our students use to navigate their way through our systems.
Is this gonna, is there an added level of trickiness because Guelph, very urban center, sort of Wellington County, you're surrounded by all these rural areas, these smaller areas, and speaking of physical connectivity, there's not a lot of physical connectivity because we're talking about young people, many of whom don't drive. Mm-hmm. So is that an extra added level of difficulty here?
I would say it's an extra challenge. And the way that we would like to work through that challenge is by having that connection to the rural communities with other sites across the city of Guelph as well. So we understand that building one center in Guelph to serve the entire county of Wellington as well as Guelph is not going to serve us well at all. Mm-hmm. And so by enabling centers to be actually open in different rural areas across the county, we'll enable some of those rural youth to access those rural sites as well.
Mm-hmm. And some of our collaboration within the network is also including a commitment to providing hoteling space and also having a commitment to traveling and bringing those services and supports to the youth wherever they are. So, for example, if there's a career development service within the network, that career development service will come into one of the spaces in one of the community network areas to provide that service to the youth in that area on those particular days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the list of other youth wellness hubs, and it's interesting because you have about half of them in urban areas, like Toronto has several, but it's also in places that are not urban, like places like Haliburton, places like Kenora, Chatham-Kent, which is another big area where there's a lot of ground to cover, like Niagara region. What's the X factor? I mean, for the communities that have taken this on, what has been the push, do you think? What has been missing that the youth hubs have sort of been able to develop here first?
Specifically within this area, Adam?
Oh, well, within any of these areas, because this seems like we're an early adapter to this. I mean, other communities might be along the same lines, moving along the same lines, but, you know, there's only 10 of these so far, but the thing I found interesting, it's not just an urban thing and it's not just a rural thing. It seems that it's pretty evenly split. And I'm wondering, what's the commonality?
I would say the commonality amongst those is having a safe place and space for youth to do what they feel they want to do and what they're seeking within their communities. We don't expect that the center that is opening up in Niagara is going to have the same services that we will have here in Guelph. Mm-hmm. Guelph will not have the same services perhaps that Erin will have or that other places within Wellington County might have. Mm-hmm. So it's really a safe place and a space for youth to come to receive some services, to receive some information, to chill, to plug in a computer, to have a place to go, to speak with someone. There are, as Carrie was stating, there are so many different services out there, but they are not coordinated and they aren't integrated. And everyone is well-meaning and we're all doing the best that we can. It comes down to how we're funded as well. Mm. And so by removing some of the barriers that are there between organizations in terms of working better together and sharing our resources in a different way is an opportunity for the youth to receive better service closer to home.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, to your point as to what's a driver of communities coming together to create these opportunities for youth, I think it's really an awareness of how important it is to be intentional in providing good, solid support for youth in that 12 to 26 area. We've had in previous decades a focus on early learning years, better beginnings types of focuses on children. Mm. But then it's been more in more recent years where people are becoming more focused on that upstream kinds of an experience for youth between 12 and 26 and even upward, but certainly filling that gap and being intentional of laying a solid foundation between the ages of 12 and 26.
Mm-hmm. For people who might listen to this and may remember being 12 to 26, or maybe still be 12, 26, but I mean, there are a lot of people out there who would probably hear the plans about this and think, well, I remember being 12, I remember being 16, 18, or whatever, and, you know, they may feel like this doesn't describe their experience. And granted, everybody's different, but, you know, I'm wondering if, is this one of those situations where it has changed so much for youth? Or is this one of those situations where we are finally cluing into there is a great need for to provide youth this kind of one-stop place where they can get whatever help they need, or just, as you said, Kate, to hang out? Is this more of one, more of the former or more of the latter? Are we understanding better, or is it harder out there to be a kid?
I think it's both. I think it is definitely harder out there these days to be a kid. I think that social media has played a significant role in how our kids are experiencing life and their abilities to have the skills required to cope with some of the big issues that they're needing to be coping with in today's society. And our families are struggling as well. Mm. And so what we want to do is we want to ensure that the voice of families and the voice of the youth are heard as we continue in the development of these youth hubs for Guelph and Wellington County. And to that end, we are working on a complete engagement strategy to hear the voices of the youth and the families so that we are tailoring the services in those geographic areas to those needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, that the needs are really diverse and complex, but I think one of the commonalities as a driver of youth needs for these kinds of opportunities to access resources is, you know, one of the things that technology has done in our modern age is it has created endless opportunity, endless choices. And that in and of itself creates tremendous pressure on our youth to be successful, to have everything figured out, to know what their career path is, to get the kind of grades they need to get onto a career path and
right.
have everything figured out when they have a quantum of opportunities more than I had. You know, I think about the difference as a Gen Xer. When I was growing up in my rural home, we had three TV channels. You know, I didn't even see a music video when I was growing up, even though the kids in town had it because they watched cable TV.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're expecting youth today to have it all figured out in an environment where the options and opportunities are just overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no room for going into your first year at university and not knowing what your major is anymore. You have to know you pretty much from the day you land here, you have to know that your path eventually takes you to grad school.
Or, sadly, our young people feel that's the case.
And that's, yeah,
right?
That's the direction they have
One
to.
Of the things that we need to do as, you know, the grown-ups that they need to get their act together is help them release some of that pressure and say to them, you know what? It's okay if you don't have it all figured out. You've got a long path ahead of you. Let's just take a look at what you're thinking you want to do right now. And that's okay.
Yeah. It's okay to just focus on passing math.
Yeah.
Yes.
Before figuring out you want to be a rocket scientist.
Exactly.
I want to get into the work on the Guelph Wellington Hub in particular. Cindy Forsyth gave an update at committee earlier this month. And this is kind of her baby, although the baby now has several dozen parents now, but it sounds like there has been tremendous progress in terms of bringing a lot of people to the table, getting a lot of different organizations on board. And at what point are you guys at now, and sort of what are the sort of like the immediate steps that are going on right now that, you know, and when you hope this will be a reality? That's a big question.
Yes. There has been a tremendous amount of work accomplished over the last year, specifically from November of 2018 to now, in regards to the planning and development of youth hubs within Guelph and the County of Wellington. And the Rotary Club of Guelph has really been holding the torch on this and moving that forward with great speed, mm-hmm. and engaging a tremendous amount of organizations and individuals within Guelph and Wellington County along the same vision of supporting youth within the ages of 12 to 26 across Guelph and Wellington County. And so we have done extensive engagement. We have a lot of organizations and agencies and youth on board. We are going to be having a one-year later event scheduled for November 29th at the Aris Golf and Country Club, in which we will be providing all of those that we have been speaking with a year-to-date update on where we are, where we're going. And the state that we're in right now is that we have identified 6 to 7 sites, both within Guelph and across Wellington County. We have met with the leadership of those areas to understand best how they would like to proceed. Mm-hmm. We are developing memorandums of understanding with each of those sites from a principal basis, that we're all agreeing to be involved with a set of principles in the project. We will be moving forward with a complete engagement plan to bring youth and family voice to reality over the next year. And also, we will be moving forward with a campaign, mm-hmm. For our community at some point in the spring.
So when you say 6 to 7 sites, will that be 6 to 7 sites potentially with one, or is that 6 to 7 sites for the whole chalada?
It's across Wellington County and Guelph would okay. be 6 to 7 sites to start with. It's just to get out of the gate. And basically we're going with the low hanging fruit, shall I say, at this point,
okay.
where we've approached organizations or municipalities or other leaders within the community, asked if they are interested. If there's interest, that interest then goes to the next question and we continue down that path. And so far we have a lot of interest, mm-hmm. and we're pretty much maxed out right now with where we're going in terms of our ability to meet the capacity of the work that needs to be done with those 6 to 7 sites and working with those organizations in the further development of the plans.
So you're maxed out in that it sounds like you have all the help you need, or or in terms of just like setting up the sites?
Just yeah. setting up okay. the sites, getting the planning together for those multiple sites
okay.
at this point in time. This is this particular project is similar but a little different than the other sites that have been set up across the province.
Mm-hmm.
We're running with the same principles as the other sites that are funded through the Ministry of Health,
mm-hmm.
but we do not have funding at this point in time from
okay.
Any ministry. So we are utilizing the resources from shared resources from a variety of different organizations that are pooling together some funding to keep us going in terms of the planning process. And should the Ministry of Health issue another request for proposals for funding for additional hubs across the province, we will be poised very well within this geographic area to be able to uptake that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. This is kind of getting into the politics of it, because this is an initiative that came about under the previous government, under Kathleen Wynne. There has been, as you both know, a turn of government, a new government is now in power, Queen's Park. I mean, it sounds like they have not cut the funding to these hubs. So, you know, it may not be on their radar, but how are you feeling about the chances that there will be another request for proposals and you know, about the odds of getting that expanded funding?
We're very optimistic because, you know, the initiative that the Rotary Club of Guelph undertook a year ago to bring our community together to talk about ways that we can support the young people in our communities. You know, that's a community commitment for sure, with a lot of strong, passionate partners that are coming to the table to do what they can to make change and create that opportunity for connection, awareness, and access. But at the same time, we do see in our conversations with federal and provincial government a real commitment to youth mental health that is continuing to come through. So we do see that as both of our federal and provincial governments look forward into their next fiscal years, there will be opportunities for us to apply for funding for this kind of an initiative.
Mm-hmm. So I want to be careful how we phrase this, but because you, having said the planning of the actual sites, you're good. But I think the point of Cindy coming to council a couple of weeks ago was to both to share the tremendous progress that has been made, but also to put people on guard that there's going to be help needed at some point. Do you know what that will look like, and then maybe how people are going to be able to help with this initiative in the weeks and months to come?
Great point, Adam. I do believe that there will be help needed. There's always help needed. And it's only through working together and optimizing and leveraging our resources together that we really do make more of a difference within the community. And so this particular model is an in-kind model to a certain degree, in that existing services that are already providing their specific service within the community will hopefully come into those hub locations, to that bricks and mortar location, to provide that same service. So it's a different location, but it's the same service. So whether it's an educational service, whether it's a mental health service, a substance abuse, a leadership course, they're providing it in a different location, but the same type of work that they're doing. So that is a really great opportunity to be working together and better integrated as a system and as a community. There will obviously be ongoing costs related to some overhead, as well as one-time costs related to capital. In some locations, we're looking at expanding physical locations. In other locations, they are building a new building, so are earmarking a certain space within that new building to house the hub. And in other locations, they are looking at space within a community that is community space, but it's not being optimized. So how could we use this hub to optimize that space? And the costs are very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at each hub, what their one-time costs will be, and what their ongoing costs will be from a sustainability perspective. And then we'll be working with the community together to see how we can actually operationalize those pieces collectively.
I think our community passion and goodwill is going to get us a certain distance down the road in realizing our vision. But, you know, it will only really get us to the first road marker. To get us to that vision of full integration and coordination, that's going to require some significant financial investment on the technology side to provide that linkage, and also to be able to expand the network beyond those partners that have come to the table now that have a certain amount of resource that they can apply to the project on an in-kind kind of a manner. But we really are going to need some substantial financial resources to get us past that first road marker that our own passion and commitment is going to get us to.
Is this maybe a case of you won't know what you need until you need it? That, you know, this is such a new thing too, that, you know, and it's so unique to the geographic area that, you know, you have a plan, you're moving along the plan, but you'll get to the end of the map when you have to draw a new map, right?
Yes. And we are doing as much learning from the existing hubs across the province and, in fact, across the nation. There are 40 different youth hubs across Canada, and there's a lot to learn from where they've come. And we don't want to not learn those lessons. And we're also learning from our own communities what's going to work. And so we want to put that plan in place as soon as we can so that people can see that there's a tangible plan with regards to what these hubs will look like in their own backyards, but leave it flexible enough that the needs of the youth and their voices say what type of programming is going to happen within those sites as well.
I think there's about 40 different local organizations that have all stepped up and have offered to be a part of this.
Yes, there are over 40 organizations that were part of our community advisory committee and that attended the November 2018 opportunity that the Rotary Club of Guelph brought Dr. Joanna Henderson from the Center for Addiction and Mental Health in Toronto, who oversees the hubs in Ontario.
Mm-hmm. I imagine at some point along this path, too, there's been a discovery process about maybe where the gaps are that, again, we've talked about so many different groups, so many stuff, so much stuff going on, so many people doing different services. Has something like that come out of this yet, to your knowledge, that, you know, through the process of integrating people, you've discovered, just like in terms of individual services, what Guelph still needs?
From my perspective, Adam, the health promotion and the well-being services, the upfront, as I indicated before, services seem to be less in our community than we would like them to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of resources, not saying it's enough, but there are a lot of resources that go into the higher need area that certainly we have a lot of youth that need and require that level of service. But if we can actually provide some service at that mild to moderate need within the community to meet some of those needs before they get to the larger resource needs, then that would really be where the gap that I've seen across the community is.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So maybe to wrap up, if suppose we get together this time next year to talk about what's been happening on this file, what will you guys have, I guess, what would this look like a year from now? You know, where will you guys be a year from now? Where do you hope you're going to be a year from now?
We are going to have 6 to 7 sites open within a year from now. We are going to have services provided at each of those sites. I should indicate that we're not looking at having a 24/7, 7-day-a-week each site type of operation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start where the community is at that point in time. Maybe on Tuesdays, the primary care nurse is in Erin, and maybe on Wednesdays, they're at one of the Guelph sites. Same with one of the, you know, maybe a leadership course is provided at one on a Thursday afternoon and another place on a Monday morning. So it's going to be a scheduling event of where are the different pieces that need to be where on whichever given date in terms of the services. So
okay.
We will start small as much as we can across the area to meet the needs of the youth. We will continue to engage youth and families within the service and to listen to our community around what those needs are. And we also will be seeking some help around the fundraising.
Okay.
And I think that a real measure of our success will be that the youth that walk in the doors of those partnered organizations really have a sense that they've received a wraparound support,
mm-hmm.
that they report back to us that we succeeded in giving them a sense of connectivity, awareness, and access that gives them a sense that, you know what, things are pretty okay in my world, and I'm going to be okay, and I know where to find people to help me wade my way through all of these opportunities and challenges that sometimes weigh pretty heavily on me.
Yeah. It's not just the serious stuff. As to go back almost to the beginning of the podcast, it's that, you know, sometimes when you are a young person, every little thing feels like the end of the world. And maybe that's the most important service of all, is to reinforce that, you know what, what's happening is normal, you're okay, and we can help you out if you need it.
Well said. I think the it's all about relationships. It's all about having that face-to-face time and building the trust.
Yeah. Okay. If people want to help out, is there a way they can follow the project along or get in touch with the committee and maybe learn more?
Absolutely. They actually, we have funding, we have trust funds that have been set up at both the Guelph Community Foundation and the Center Wellington Community Foundation. So there are opportunities to donate there. But also we can connect through myself, absolutely. And we also have a website that is in production, but it's not quite up yet.
Okay.
So we will be advertising that once we get that up and going. And we have an email that certainly individuals can connect with us through that.
Okay. Well, Carrie and Kate, thank you so much for your time today, and best of luck with the project. And maybe we will get together in a year and see how it's all gone. But thank you for coming by and talking about it today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
And once again, that was Kate Reed and Carrie Chessels, two of the people working to establish an integrative youth services network initiative for Guelph Wellington. If you would like to get more information on the initiative, you can send them an email at Integrated Youth Service Model. That is Integrated Youth Service Model, all one word, at gmail.com. There will be a one-year update on this project this coming Friday at the Aris Golf and Country Club, and it will feature speakers from the Rotary Club of Guelph, the CMHA of Waterloo Wellington, Central Wellington Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and the Guelph Community Foundation. Expect to hear more about this project in the months to come. And if you'd like to learn more about Youth Wellness Hubs, then you can go to youthhubs.ca. And that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is recorded at CFRU at the University Center at the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, go to cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can download it from the host Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. Also, when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Monday and an episode of End Credits on Friday. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Find me at Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. You can go to Guelph Politico on Facebook at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico. And you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you in the near future, likely next week. Until then, see you next time.